scratch. And one, two, three. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Recovery Radio broadcast recorded live at the Leyte Recovery Community Center in downtown Moscow. At the LRCC, we work with people to enter and engage from recovery from addictions and behavioral health disorders through peer-to-peer interaction and evidence-based practices to promote a healthy community. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Leyte Recovery Community Center, which is located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at leyterecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can find them on the web at leyterecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community information about addiction and behavioral health disorders and to make our community aware of the recovery resources available from the Leyte Recovery Community Center. We also share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for those struggling with addiction and behavioral health disorders. And the March calendar for this month, recovery coaching and peer support is available online, by phone, or in person. You can call. That happens every day and by appointment. And Alcoholics Anonymous, live and on Zooms every day at noon. Substance Addiction Support Group meets every day except Monday and weekends at 6 p.m. Positive Affirmations, live and on Zoom, is Monday from 1 to 2. The AA Women's Meeting, New Beginnings, happens actually live at St. Mark's Episcopal Church, but is available on Zoom through our calendar Zoom link, and that's on Mondays at 7:30. There's also a new Men's AA Meeting, the Monday Men's Meeting, and that happens at 5:30 on Mondays. Recovery Peer Volunteer Meeting is the last Monday of the month at 6 p.m. Sexaholics Anonymous meets Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays from 8:30 to 9:30. Vandal Recovery at the Campus Christian Center happens Tuesday and Thursdays from 2 to 4, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Our Board of Directors meetings happen on the second Tuesday of every month at 4 p.m., and the public is invited and welcome. The Grief Experience, hosted by Sarah S., is going to be happening on Tuesday, March 29th at 4:30. AA in Potlatch at the Catholic Church, 725 Spruce Street, is Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. The Harm Reduction Safe Syringe Exchange and Supplies is Tuesdays and Thursdays from 4 to 7 or by appointment. Al-Anon Live and on Zoom is Wednesdays at 1:15. The Events Committee meets Wednesdays at 2 p.m. New Volunteer Orientation is Wednesdays from 4 to 5. Recovery International Mental Health Self-Help Live and on Zoom is Wednesdays at 6:30. Movie and Game Night is Thursdays from 5 to 8. Life Skills Live and on Zoom is Fridays from 3 to 4 p.m. Vandal Recovery Planning Meeting is Fridays at 3 p.m. Resolution Healthy Eating Group meets Fridays at 4 p.m. The All Recovery Meeting, live and on Zoom, is Fridays from 5 to 5:45. And Al-Anon Live and on Zoom is Fridays at 8 p.m. Alcoholics Anonymous Sunday Morning Group meets at the Campus Christian Center and is also available on Zoom through our website and calendar. And that's Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Zoom meetings are accessed by going to our calendar at leyterecoverycenter.org, clicking on the group name, and you can follow the instructions from there. But if you have problems with that, give us a call at 208-883-1045, and one of our volunteers will be happy to help you navigate the Zoom universe and get you online. I am Radio Johnny. I am a grateful recovered alcoholic, recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And today, my main guest, numero uno, is the executive director of the Leyte Recovery Community Center, and he is Daryl Keim. Hey, Daryl, how are you doing?
I am Daryl Kyman. I'm doing good.
All right. Get you adjusted here. Daryl, I've
been trying to get me adjusted for years.
There. I'm not going there. I really, really want to, though. However, wanted to talk to you a little bit today. We've been trying to, you know, at least on a, if not on a monthly basis, a bi-monthly basis, keep in touch with you and have you kind of illuminate the world on what's going on at the center. And there is a lot going on right now. But first, you know, for those people that might be hearing Recovery Radio for the first time or are casually listening after lunch, like always, you know, when I talk to people on the street about the Latah Recovery Center, for some reason I get this vibe that they think it's a, you know, private, pay-to-play sort of, you know, recovery-type operation.
Nope. We're absolutely free.
And in the name, Latah Recovery Community Center, I take it it's free and open to everyone over 18, of course.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely true. We're funded by generous local donors, private grants, government contracts, but we don't, none of our programs cost anything, except on occasion there might be an art program or something like that where if we incur a cost, it might get passed on.
Right.
But we're a not-for-profit organization.
Fantastic. I wanted people to realize that for sure, because there's always, you know, there are other recovery centers in this area. There's one over in Pullman, and that is absolutely a pay-to-play, and they do intensive outpatient, inpatient type work.
I think they call themselves the Palouse Recovery Center.
Yes.
And they are truly a counseling agency, whereas we are a recovery community center that happens to have some free short-term crisis counseling and other programs like that.
Cool. Well, good. I'm glad we're putting that out just to make, you know, people aware that you can come in here and work on your recovery from addictions, mental health, behavioral health disorders, whatever. It's open to you for free, 99.9%. I can't remember the last time we had to charge for something.
I can't remember ever charging for anything, but I always want to put that caveat in there in case we like go bowling or something.
Those things we might, exactly. A lot of things going on. Like I said, we are now partnering with Latah County IDHW.
So that's Latah County and the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare.
Okay, and it's a reentry grant. Yep. That we were awarded.
Yep. A couple months ago, the Latah County contacted me. And they had seen a request for proposal from the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare on reentry programs for folks that are currently in jail or prison. And we partnered with them. They're a grant writer. She wrote the grant, did most of the legwork. And now we have to do the actual work because we won the grant.
And what is the actual work going to look like?
The actual work looks like us going into the jail about 3 months in advance of somebody getting out. And the idea is that we're working with them, getting them connected with resources while they're in the jail, while they're sober, and presumably want to maintain a sober lifestyle when they get out of the jail. So we're coaching them while they're in the jail. We're doing recovery coaching. We're setting up with what they want their recovery to look like. We're helping them set goals for that. And then we also have a case manager that's looking at what their needs are. Do they need things like medication-assisted therapy, which we can get for them in the jail now thanks to this grant? What do they need while they're in the jail that we can possibly provide? And also looking at how can we set them up for success on the first day that they get out of the jail and in the weeks that they're out of the jail so that they don't reoffend. Right. So it's looking at things like, do they need housing? Can we help with housing? Can we help them find a job? All the things that people need in order to be successful in society once they're out of jail, instead of the traditional way when you get out of jail where they just say, hey, you're free.
Right. Here's your bag of stuff we took away from you when you came in now.
Minus a few things.
Right. Minus a few things. They hold those, what do they call it? Oh, yeah, evidence. Who could predict that somebody who just gets bumped back out onto the streets would fail, you know, at trying to
Yeah, it's really shocking. You take them out of the neighborhood, you sober them up, then you put them back in the same neighborhood where they're having problems, and they do the same thing.
Yeah. Who knew?
Who would have thought?
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, that's a really exciting sounding program. And we have a new staff employee that's going to be working this. You want to talk a little bit about Reva?
Yeah, we just hired Reva Rin about a week ago. I think she started a week ago as of this Monday. Mm-hmm. So she's brand new with us, but she's got a long history of doing this type of case management work. So we were very excited to hire her. She's got, I think, a 20-plus year history of working in this area.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's not easy to find somebody that is going to fit into a job like a glove. We've been so fortunate here, you know, working with Joyce Lyons from Health and Welfare.
Absolutely.
And, you know, all the other people that have contributed here. The woman who worked with the Supreme Court, can't think of her name. I kind of met her at your house at a reception one time.
Norma Jaeger.
Yeah, Norma Jaeger.
Idaho Supreme Court.
Yes, right there. Yeah.
But yeah, Norma came up. She was in Boise, and she works for Recovery Idaho. Mm-hmm. And we work closely with her on stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing, this little tiny town out here on the western frontier.
Just never know.
Yeah, we can get into that. So yeah, so welcome to Reva. We're looking forward to once she gets her feet on the ground and gets up to speed, having her in on Recovery Radio to talk to her about her experience.
Yeah, it might be fair to give her a few weeks.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. So tell us everything you know and be brief. And it probably would be brief at this point. Another thing that's coming up that's really cool, we're looking at safe and sober housing.
I am so excited about that.
And it's kind of a unique, unique to this area, Latah County, Oxford House.
Yep, we are looking. So Oxford House is a nationally known organization. It's been going since the 70s, and there's thousands of Oxford houses throughout the U.S. I think there's over 100 in the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. And in Idaho, they're a fairly new concept, though. I think there's two in Idaho. I think they're both in Lewiston. And I know that Oxford House just got a contract with the state of Idaho to start six more in the next year.
Wow.
So the concept behind Oxford House, I hear you about to ask,
ah,
is that they are a democratically run, safe and sober house. So it's not some place where you have a paid case manager that lives there or security that's there all the time or anything like that. But instead, it's a community of like-minded individuals that want to live a safe and sober lifestyle. Frequently, they're new in recovery, though not always. They can stay at an Oxford House for as long as they want, and it's just an Oxford House looks just like any other house in the community. Honestly, there's not a sign outside that says Oxford House or anything like that, and they are renting it from a local landlord and agreeing to abide by the rules of Oxford House National. So by that, they have an officer structure that they expect them to follow. They have policies for sobriety that they're required to follow, standards of behavior that they're required to follow. And they kind of like AA, they become part of a larger network, in fact, a different district or region. Mm-hmm. And they've got support that way. They've got trainings for how to best run your home, things like that. So you're tapping into a national network of recovery home support when you operate an Oxford House. And we're looking at trying to start one up. We've got about half the funding we need, thanks to Latah County. They took the ARPA funds, that's the American Rescue Plan Act funds, that they received, and they gave us up to $200,000 to buy a local house. So we're prospecting for the roughly $200,000 more that we need. In fact, we've contacted the city council with Moscow because they're also getting some of those ARPA funds and asked them to consider helping us fund this. Meeting on that in about 2 weeks, so we'll see. But we're halfway there. I expect we'll get all the way there, and we'll be able to open up at least one facility. It'd be nice to open two because they can only be single-gender facilities, so right. Male or female. Can't have both.
I can't understand why that would be a problem.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah. Well, that's really exciting. I know there's We've talked about the NIMBYs, not in my backyard folks. Have you talked to Oxford about how they've been received in their local communities? I mean, obviously you don't have a sign in the front yard, like you said, but odd people coming, going, I mean, in this town, it's not too weird because we have a university here. And
right. So I have, but honestly, I'm just not that concerned about it here in Moscow because of the very reason you just said. You know, honestly, I have a home here in Moscow, and right in my backyard, right across from my backyard, not in my backyard, of course, are high-density apartments full of college students. And I can tell you, looking you dead on, straight in the eye, I would much rather have an Oxford house in my backyard where people are committed to living a safe, sober lifestyle, and the police are well aware of them and they're checking it out periodically, versus some of the college students I've had in those apartments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been there, done that. We have to pass through the huge section of apartment complexes over off West A Street anytime we go anywhere. And, you know, you'll see bodies littering the street on Sunday mornings or sirens constantly on Saturday nights. People.
Oxford definitely has expertise in dealing with the not in my backyard piece of life that's bound to prop up, but I just don't think it's going to be huge here in Moscow because of the reasons we've already talked about.
Yeah. I think you're right. And I really hope that, you know, we get a...
They also have some fairly high standards, I have to say. Mm-hmm. They have standards for what the house must look like, the condition of the house, the size of the house, the number of people that can stay in the house. In addition to the behavior standards I already mentioned, they've got that. And also, for somebody to be able to join the Oxford House, I think it's 80% of the current residents have to approve them before they're accepted to move in. So it's going to be kind of self-creating for the positive environment that they want to maintain also.
That makes perfect sense that like-minded people, I can understand from my experience in AA, typically we all know who's struggling. You know, if someone's struggling, and we rally to support that person. In AA, we can't kick people out. I mean, unless they show up naked or something, you know, pretty extreme like that. But, you know, the idea is that we're there to, you know, help people in their sobriety. So
and
why wouldn't
Oxford
House?
And the folks that are just
talking
and the folks that are walking the walk, too.
Right, exactly.
It's a small community. Moscow is a small community. The recovery community is even smaller. People
right.
know who people are.
Yes.
So that self-censors nicely.
Yes. Yes, it does. Okay, moving on to another kind of exciting thing that's cropping up. It's the Vandal Recovery. We've been working. We have a meeting established on campus, but I understand it's moving up a level.
I am very excited about that. We do have a meeting that's been established. We've been meeting at the center, formerly known as the Campus Christian Center, for several months now. We used to meet at the Catholic at St. Augustine's, but we moved over to the Campus Christian Center with the new semester. Anyhow, we've been having some volunteers go over there, and on a volunteer basis, I think they're there for 6 hours a week. However, when the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare heard what we were doing, is we were talking about one of our other grants that we have with them. Mm-hmm. They said, we love that. We have some money. We would love to talk with you about hiring a full-time staff member to get that really going. So, you know, when people with money ask you to request money, you do. So we threw together a job description full-time to hire somebody to focus on that program. Because just like I said, it had been volunteers and we've been trying to make a go of it. But I don't have the paid staff time to really focus on it.
Right.
My staff are busy.
Right.
So being able to hire this new person as a coordinator, I think we'll have a good program going pretty fast.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And and that, I understand, might be happening real soon.
We have an interview tomorrow with a prospect that I have a high degree of confidence in, but they're not hired yet.
Right.
What can I say? Very excited. The vision that we have is to kind of bring what we do here downtown to campus because, you know, students don't walk off campus very often. They don't think of of these types of things. But it's going to be different, too, because students are at a different place in life versus the clientele that we typically see come through the recovery center and through the crisis center. So I'm going to look for it to be, I think it'll have more of a mental health focus than an addiction focus, to tell you the truth. I think that a lot of times with the pressures that students are under and just the age that they're at, this is the time in life when mental health issues first start to show up in people at the age of 18 to 22, you know, early 20s. That's when they first start realizing that maybe they have a problem. So I think we'll look at probably more help with mental health than we are with addictions. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll look at things like study groups and more social activities than we do right now with our regular program here downtown also, because I think it'll take a different attractor to get the students to come.
Yeah, because after all, isn't it kind of a different community within a community?
Yeah.
Age differences. I mean, we see a fair number of young people here at the center, say 18 to 30, but certainly that's not the bulk of it.
The vast majority are not students, I can tell
right,
you that.
Right. If you can catch them in that environment, that's a really cool thing. And again, you know, engaging them in activities. They want to be involved in things there. And quite honestly, with students I know and talk to, there's not a whole lot of like sober events going on. I mean, if you're going to a fraternity party or, you know, just a party off campus or want to go out dancing at night, if you can even still do that here somewhere, you know, the options of doing it sober just puts you in an awkward space.
Yeah.
You know, especially young folks, because they want to fit in. You know, they want to be part of the group. So offering them a group that's based around healthy thinking, healthy actions, that's got to be a real great plus for them.
Yeah. So I've been trying to get this program off the ground for about 2.5 years now. And we tried to kick it off without funding, you know, just as a volunteer effort. And we had the worst timing in the world. We kicked it off January 2020.
Right before the big C.
Yeah, that hit. And, you know, we had a nice calendar of activities laid out. We had trainings laid out for folks to get them trained so they could be recovery peer volunteers or coaches with the life skills coaching that we do and the recovery coaching that we do. Had it all laid out, and yeah, COVID hit, and just students all left town. It's like, okay.
Yeah, time to.
So we've been trying to limp along and do a little bit, but this will be a real shot in the arm for it.
Right. Is the university being involved at all with this program?
Well, you know, when we did the initial planning for the 2020 effort, they were highly involved. At this point, we haven't involved them too much other than just telling them what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would look for the person that we hire to coordinate with the university, yes, and to get them more involved. But we're going to start the program first before we do that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's much easier to get people on board with you if you go to them with a solid plan and even a little bit of a track record to show that you're serious about it, because they're, let's face it, University of Idaho does not receive the FAP funding that our neighbor across the state line gets.
Not at all.
For projects like this.
Yeah, they're very supportive of what we're trying to do, but we just haven't reached out to them right now with this renewed effort.
Let's see, what else is going on? I don't have anything else on my list. You got anything that is
Well, we can expand
exciting?
On that just a little bit.
Sure.
I don't have a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But the little bit of digging that I did after we had to look to reinvigorate this program was that there's actually national college associations for recovery. And there's things, there's housing, there's recovery college housing, I should say. There's scholarships. So I'm really looking for our person to go big with this. You know, I'm showing them those resources and saying, we're going to start where we start, but look how far you can take this. And I think it could become a big deal.
Yeah, well, when you talk about that, We interviewed a few weeks ago, we interviewed Jennifer Mattson, who's part of the Cougs for Recovery organization.
Yep.
And that is becoming a, it's gone from a student organization to it's becoming a program through the university with like some serious funding. And they're looking exactly at those things you talked about, you know, safe, sober housing, even a, you know, a sober and mental health like club facility in that kind of housing situation.
All that you could, I suspect you could have an Oxford House that targeted students.
Right.
You know, 18 and up, I suspect. I don't, haven't checked with Oxford on that.
Right.
Certainly that type of safe and sober housing for students. I've heard of other universities where they have wings of a dorm or a floor of a dorm that's a sober floor, things like that. So it could be a very big program.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, it might center around mental health. It's my experience that people I associate with who have addiction or you know, addiction issues, alcoholism, other drugs, there's always seems to be a mental health component in there somewhere.
I would agree with that, and it was my experience in college that the guys that were clearly having alcohol or other issues were not ready to deal with them at that college age.
Right, right.
You know, they were maybe, might have been one or two that I'm fairly certain had to deal with it at that age, but it wasn't something they opted into. It was something where they ended up in the police department, and the police pointed out, or the judge pointed out,
right,
you're going to deal with this.
Yeah, there may be a problem here. You might have issues, yeah. And nonetheless, you know, some folks come from what I would call blessed backgrounds. And I personally think with addiction, I think there's a genetic key somewhere to it. They haven't quite cracked that nut yet, so that's just my theory.
There's certainly a family key, whether it's genetic or whether it's upbringing. I'm not going to weigh in on that.
Yeah.
But you can certainly see where it runs in families.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my family's alcoholics is all the way back to Scotland, and need I say any more?
I'm going to avoid any obvious jokes there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, I've heard it said in Ireland that God invented whiskey to keep the Irish from taking over the world. May or may not be true, but that's my grandfather's story, and I'm sticking to it. The really cool part about being involved with the university, in my opinion, is like I talked about before. You know, it gives people an option. You know, if you're in a trying to stay sober or trying to, you know, just be healthy, maintain good mental health on a college campus, there are not a lot of options, not obvious ones. I mean, the university has a type.
Well, they have the health fair that they do.
Right.
Are you talking about their Center for Counseling and Testing Services
at
the University of Idaho?
Yeah, that's it.
That's the folks that we coordinated with when we were setting up that original effort that we were making for Vandal Recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And they were highly supportive.
Right.
But they're busy.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's where, you know, private donations and government grants and people like us can come in and try and fill that void or that gap, rather, because I'm sure they're trying or doing as much as they can with what they have.
Yeah. And there's just the difference, too, between a small nonprofit that can be very nimble and really respond quickly to a perceived need versus, no offense to university listeners, large bureaucracies.
Yeah, we talked about that last week with Sarah Steele,
yeah,
our master's level intern here.
Yeah.
Yeah, she used to work for the Forest Service, aka the federal government.
Yep.
And let's face it, bureaucracy does not get any bigger than that by scale at any rate. So yeah, the fact that we're able to respond and fill gaps and
I can have a whole program quickly written up and staffed by the time they've decided what color paper to use for their resume.
Too true. Well, fantastic. Hey, anything else on your mind that I may have run over there? Still open from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday.
That hasn't changed from day one. Our construction remodel is almost done. In fact, we're using most of the new offices that have been built. We've still got some construction materials sitting in our small meeting room. But otherwise, if people want to drop by and see what they helped us build, we've got some nice space now. It's a lot more private so that meetings that are held aren't being held in the middle of a big empty room that anybody can watch and listen. It's nice. So that's great.
Yeah, I've been in there. It is very cool. Fresh paint on the walls. Ah, that new meeting room smell. You can't beat it.
Yeah.
And the way they broke that up over there, I think, is really cool. You know, having a couple of smaller meeting rooms where, you know, if you're an AA sponsor and you want to talk to a sponsee in a neutral place, you come in, and if it's open, you know, you just can go in there and use it. Nice and private. It's quiet on the outside. I tried listening at the door, and
We insulated the walls.
Yeah.
We anticipated you.
Yeah, my little glass against the wall in my ears, it's just not working like it used to. So thank you very much.
In all seriousness, you know, if you're sitting outside the room, you can hear people are talking, but you can't hear what they say.
Right. Right. And that's key for anonymous groups.
Yeah, it really nice. Is. So yeah, there's that. I'm sure you've announced already that our fundraiser breakfast and dessert went really well.
Yeah, the last number I had was like 46, just shy of 50 now. Wow.
Yeah, I knew there was something or another.
I knew there was still some checks coming in after.
And more checks will come in throughout the year. We've easily topped 50,000 if we're this close.
Wow, it's getting close to what, 25% now of our budget?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's certainly, it's probably a third of our recovery center budget.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we got more than just the recovery center. So if
right.
you look at the other add-ons, it's probably close to a sixth. But it's the good money, though.
Right.
Because it's the money that lubricates everything. Because everything else, you know, it comes from grants or specific programs. And especially with government contracts, they never pay for everything.
No.
You know, there's always something you forgot to include when you respond to their request for proposal. So you got to figure out how you're going to buy that computer or pay that staff member for that extra time that you didn't anticipate. And this is the money where you can just do whatever you need.
Right. What do they call that grant money? Soft money, I think.
I like the term fungible.
Fungible.
F-U-N-G-I-B-L-E.
Like a non-fungible token. Still haven't figured that one out.
Neither have I.
I like saying it, but not sure exactly what it is. Sounds to me like a scam.
But yeah, so thank you to everybody that helped make that possible, that's for certain. But no, otherwise, just between getting the new vandal recovery program going, the new jail program going, the construction going, and the safe and sober housing going, we're not doing much.
Yeah. It's kind of quiet down here. It's quiet. It is quiet because everybody has got their heads down, leaning over their computers, typing up this and that, getting this and that ready. Oh, and our one last thing I'll talk about, our Artist in Residence program is kicking off. We're going to have a couple of workshops coming up here in April. God willing, we're going to be able to participate in the April Art Walk.
That's the plan.
That'll be happening, I think it's third Thursday of the month, and we'll have more information on that coming up. I owe a phone call back to our first artist, Amira Batter. Yeah, and she's getting ready to go. She's almost got the workshops nailed down and should be having that information out through our, not only this program, but our weekly newsletter that Daryl puts out. And if you want to be on that mailing list, email us at latarrecoverycenter@gmail.com and just put add me to your mailing list in the subject line and we'll get you hooked up. Find out what's going on down here.
Not quite a weekly mailing list, more like every 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, for me, that's almost weekly. But that's just the way I am. Well, fabulous. Daryl, thanks for stopping in.
You bet.
In a minute, I think we're going to have Aaron California come in. He's got some information he wants to share, and we will be talking to you again soon.
Very good.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Johnny.
Sent up and I've been shut down. You're the best thing that I've ever found. Handle me with care. Reputation's changeable. Situation's terrible. But baby, you're adorable.
Hey everybody, we're back, and I am here with Aaron California. He's the master's level intern here at the Latah Recovery Center, and he works on both sides of the wall, as we call it, both in the recovery center side and also the rural crisis center network. I had to look at the door to remember it. My memory is horrible. So Aaron, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. It's really cool you wanted to come in and talk about people getting help for different conditions or things that are going on in your life. I'm just going to toss it to you and let you share about what you're talking about.
Yeah, so as a social worker, in addition to therapy, we do a community outreach, encouraging people to take advantage of the resources that are available to them. And one of those resources is therapy. For example, here at the Rural Crisis Center, we offer free therapy, short-term therapy, but free therapy nonetheless. And as a therapist, we specialize, we each have specializations. So like one of my specializations is working with adult survivors of child abuse. And so in this announcement, I thought it'd be a real good opportunity to encourage that population, adult survivors of child abuse, to seek therapy, whether it's here at the Rural Crisis Center or any therapy office in their area, and to encourage them to not be discouraged if there's a wait list. You know, that's a very real reality. There's a shortage of therapists, but I want to encourage them to get into therapy, to get the help they need. I came up with this idea because I read memoirs by adult survivors of child abuse, and you wouldn't believe how many decades of their lives literally, essentially, bluntly get wasted because they're struggling with their emotional problems from the past child abuse that happened 20 plus years ago. And so, you know, that inspired me to say, you know what, I should make an announcement encouraging people to get into therapy as soon as they can so that they don't waste those precious years of their lives, their 20s, their 30s, you know, and 40s, making poor choices, doing things that they'll look back on and wish, you know, they had gotten the help that they needed sooner. So I just want to encourage them to, you know, find the courage to reach out to a therapist that they feel comfortable with, so that they can, you know, make their lives the best life possible.
Yeah, and it's my experience, you know, being in recovery from alcoholism, a lot of that stemmed from my, you know, the things that happened in my childhood. I lived in a actively alcoholic household. You know, both my parents were practicing alcoholics for most of my, you know, growing up years. And it never occurred to me early on, even early on in sobriety, how much that really affected me, how I thought, and how I approached, you know, my drug and alcohol use. You know, it's just a really bad way of dealing with the real hard thing. And some of the things that you might even be able to expand on a little bit is some of the things that people might not even recognize as abuse.
Right. You know, if you look, a lot of people, survivors may not realize the things that they endured were abuse. Even things you might not think about, like whether it was being touched inappropriately by a parent or hit in certain ways, you may just think, well, that was normal. But if you pay attention to your feelings, really look back on it and ask yourself, was that really an okay way to be treated? And if you say no, chances are you're probably right. If you pay attention to your feelings and you really think back on it, you're probably right when you come to the conclusion that, you know, that probably was abuse. And the things that you're doing now, like, you know, Johnny said, you know, in his case, you know, drinking, you know, if you're, you know, struggling with substance abuse and you look back on it and you say, you know what, why, ask yourself, why am I doing this? And you think, well, it's probably all the experiences I had growing up as a kid. I was using it to cope. You're probably right. And so that's one reason why I encourage you to seek therapy now so that you don't miss out on so many years. You know, it's better to do it now while you're young, healthy, your body can recover, your mind can recover easier.
Yeah, and it's not always the symptom of, you know, my symptom, which was alcoholism. You know, it's always drug abuse and alcohol abuse are really just, you know, they're symptoms of a bigger problem that's going on, or, you know, the causation is in the background somewhere. Not everybody I know who has struggled with, you know, abuse or an unhealthy living environment as a child turns out to be an alcoholic or a drug abuser. What are some of the warning signs you might toss out to somebody for them to maybe do a little introspective search of why am I behaving like this, and to get them to actually reach out for help, because that's a tough thing to do too.
Yeah, so if you look back on your reasons for substance abuse, you're probably going to be right in the reasons why you're doing it. And like Johnny said, the reason you're using the substance isn't necessarily your problem. It can be a symptom of an underlying problem such as post-traumatic stress disorder or depression, anxiety. You're using this substance to cope with that depression and anxiety. So in therapy, we would treat your anxiety or your depression rather than, not necessarily your drinking per se, well, that too, but we want to treat what we say in therapy, treat causes, not symptoms. We want to treat the cause of the problem so that your symptoms of drinking, substance abuse can alleviate.
Right. And I know people that are screamers, you know, they're not addicted, but they have to, you know, with their children typically, they got, or their spouse, they've got to yell to make themselves heard. I heard that can be also be a kind of an indicator that something may be wrong in the background. Do you see those sort of things when people come in?
Yeah. So if you find yourself, you know, depressed, anxious, and you don't really know why, or you keep flashing back to memories of your childhood, and you know, you're not, you just make the connection between that and how you're feeling. And sometimes that's a hard thing for people to do, to connect their thoughts to their feelings and making that connection. You know, again, if you look back on your behaviors and realizing, look, this really isn't helpful, you know, ask yourself, why am I doing this? Chances are you're going to find that answer. It's very simple. You know, it's usually something very simple right in front of you. If you're, you know, for example, hitting your own kids and, you know, you're not understanding why you're doing it, you know, that's one sign that maybe there's something in your own past that you're struggling to overcome, your own child abuse that you experienced. If you're, you know, drinking and you look back on your family experiences and you grew up in a family that had a lot of alcoholism, you know, chances are you're probably right. That's probably why you're drinking. You're handling your experiences from the past.
Right, right. Well, fantastic. And that's the, you know, that's the sort of things that I'm sure you run into day in and day out. And it's just great to have you come on for a couple of minutes and just talk about the fact that we know there are avenues for you to go down to, you know, get some help to figure those things out. You know, like you said, you know, anxiety and depression, they don't just fall out of the sky and hit you one day. There's causation behind right. it somewhere. And why not go and talk to somebody and try and drill down and figure out where that came from? You know, when you say, yeah, it can be something that's right in front of you. My depression, when I went through a pretty serious bout of it, It took talking, you know, doing some cognitive talk therapy with a professional to drill down and find out what was causing it. And yeah, it was like literally I knew what it was, but I didn't realize the correlation between the depression and the abuse as a child. Mine was living in a chaotic alcoholic household and learning how to deal with things badly, you know. And to this day, I have to pay attention to it. But if you don't talk to somebody, you may not find it out. And like you said, you know, you're going to waste a lot of time either wallowing in self-pity or, I mean, who knows? It can go all the way to the other end of the spectrum where suicide seems like a good option. And certainly, there's no point in going there if you don't have to. So fantastic. Aaron, I just want to say thanks again for stopping in, sharing a little bit. And if you want to meet Aaron, come on down to the Recovery Center. He's here quite a bit, mostly in the afternoons. And you can talk to him and find some of these resources that are out there. We have a whole wall in the Recovery Center side for resources for people with behavioral health disorders or, you know, certain situations. And certainly if you're really on the edge, come on down 10 to 8. You walk into the Rural Crisis Center Network. We got people here that can help get you started on the right path. Might even be Aaron. You never know.
Yep.
Well, thanks again, Aaron. And that about wraps it up for Recovery Radio for today. I want to thank everybody for listening out there. If you want to get a hold of us, you can call the Recovery Center and leave a message at 208-883-1045, or you can email us at lrccrecoveryradio@gmail.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, you can download past episodes from iTunes and Google Play, or right from the Latah Recovery Center website at latahrecoverycenter.org. And that's it for us. And remember, if you think you have a problem with addiction or behavioral health disorders, you probably do.
I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. I feel like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? Woo! I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. I feel like my life ain't mine. I don't wanna be alive. I don't wanna be alive. I just wanna die today. I just wanna die. Other shit I'm talking about, they think they know it. I've been praying for somebody to save me. No one's heroic in my life, don't even matter. I know it, I know it, I know I'm hurting deep down, but can't show it. I never had a place to call my own. I never had a home. Ain't nobody calling my phone. Where you been, where you at, what's on your mind? They say every life precious, but nobody care about mine. I've been on the low, I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? Woo! I've been on the I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. I want you to be alive. I want you to be alive. You don't gotta die today. You don't gotta die. I want you to be alive. I want you to be alive. You don't gotta die. Now let me tell you why.
It's the very first breath when your head's been drowning underwater. And it's the lightness in the air when you're there chest to chest with the lover. It's holding on though the road's long and seeing light in the darkest things. And when you stare at your reflection, finding open who it is, I know that you'll thank God you.
I know where you've been, where you are, where you're going. I know you're the reason I believe in life. What's the day without a little night? I'm just trying to set a little light. It can be hard, it can be so hard, but you gotta live right now, you got everything to give right now. I've been on the low, I've been taking my time, I feel like I'm out of my mind, it feel like my life ain't mine. Who can relate? Woo! I've been on the low, I've been taking my time, I feel like I'm out of my mind, it feel like my life ain't mine. I finally wanna be alive. See my tears melt in the snow, but I don't wanna cry, I don't wanna cry anymore.